We're going to carry on the series in Genesis that Peter's been leading us through. This evening we reach chapter 29, verse 31. When the Lord saw that Leah was not loved, he opened her womb, but Rachel was barren. Leah became pregnant and gave birth to a son. She named him Reuben, for she said, "It is because the Lord has seen my misery. Surely my husband will now love me." She conceived again, and when she gave birth to a son, she said, "Because the Lord heard that I am not loved, he gave me this one too." So she named him Simeon. Again she conceived, and when she gave birth to a son, she said, "Now at last my husband will become attached to me, because I have borne him three sons." So he was named Levi. She conceived again, and when she gave birth to a son, she said, "This time I will praise the Lord." So she named him Judah. Then she stopped having children. When Rachel saw that she was not bearing Jacob any children, she became jealous of her sister. So she said to Jacob, "Give me children, or I'll die." Jacob became angry with her and said, "Am I in the place of God who has kept you from having children?" Then she said, "Here is Bilhah, my maidservant. Sleep with her so that she can bear children for me, and that through her I too can build a family." So she gave him her servant Bilhah as a wife. Jacob slept with her, and she became pregnant and bore him a son. Then Rachel said, "God has vindicated me, has listened to my plea and given me a son." Because of this, she named him Dan. Rachel's servant Bilhah conceived again and bore Jacob a second son. Then Rachel said, "I have had a great struggle with my sister, and I have won." So she named him Naphtali. When Leah saw that she had stopped having children, she took her maidservant Zilpah and gave her to Jacob as a wife. Leah's servant Zilpah bore Jacob a son. Then Leah said, "What good fortune!" So she named him Gad. Leah's servant Zilpah bore Jacob a second son. Then Leah said, "How happy I am! The women will call me happy." So she named him Asher. During wheat harvest, Reuben went out into the fields and found some mandrake plants, which he brought to his mother Leah. Rachel said to Leah, "Please give me some of your son's mandrakes." "Does he not regard us as..." Hang on. That's the wrong one. I'll read my Bible. Where did we get to? Right. Okay. Verse 15. But she said to her, "Wasn't it enough that you took away my husband? Will you take my son's mandrakes too?" "Very well," Rachel said. "He can sleep with you tonight in return for your son's mandrakes." So when Jacob came in from the fields that evening, Leah went out to meet him. "You must sleep with me," she said. "I've hired you with my son's mandrakes." So he slept with her that night. God listened to Leah, and she became pregnant and bore Jacob a fifth son. Then Leah said, "God has rewarded me for giving my maidservant to my husband." So she named him Issachar. Leah conceived again and bore Jacob a sixth son. Then Leah said, "God has presented me with a precious gift. This time my husband will treat me with honor, because I have borne him six sons." So she named him Zebulun. Sometime later, she gave birth to a daughter and named her Dinah. Then God remembered Rachel. He listened to her and opened her womb. She became pregnant and gave birth to a son and said, "God has taken away my disgrace." She named him Joseph and said, "May the Lord add to me another son." Well, I entitled this sermon Motherhood and Fatherhood. And in a way, you couldn't find a more relevant passage for Mother's Day, could you? It's all about people having loads of babies, isn't it? And it's not just the mothers that are involved, of course, that the father had a role to play. When the Lord saw that Leah was not loved, he opened her womb, but Rachel was barren. Isn't this interesting? I mean, Peter's pointed this out before, that there does seem to be a bias in God's mind in favour of the unfortunate. whoever is having a downer, as it were, God looks after them. And that's what's happening here. God shows sympathy with the underdog. God looks with compassion on Leah. Because Jacob doesn't love her. You remember last week, Jacob really wanted to marry Rachel. And he was somewhat stunned when he woke up in the morning and found that he was in bed with Leah. Their father said, "Oh, well, you can serve me another 7 years for Rachel. Thanks." So he had to do 14 years service in the end for the two of them. And some more on top of that. But God was sympathetic to Leah because Jacob didn't love her. He loved Rachel more. Jesus said, didn't he, "Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted." So Leah became pregnant and she gave birth to a son. She named him Reuben, for she said, "It is because the Lord has seen my misery, surely my husband will love me now." Reuben means, John, that's it. see a son, that's actually what the Hebrew means, see a son. Then she conceived again, and when she gave birth to a son, she said, "Because the Lord heard that I am not loved, he gave me this one too." So she named him Simeon. Simeon probably means, it's not exactly what the Hebrew is, but similar, one who hears, God has heard me. Again she conceived. She's doing well here, isn't she? And when she gave birth to a son, she said, "Now at last my husband will become attached to me, because I've borne him three sons." So he named him Levi, which means attached. Interesting, these meanings, aren't they? She conceived again, and when she gave birth to a son, she said, "This time I will praise the Lord." So she named him Judah, because Judah sounds like the word for praise. Judah. Because we know that Judah is the ancestor of David, who became King David, and therefore is the ancestor of Jesus. So it's Leah. It's Leah who is the ancestor of Jesus. Not Rachel. Not the one that Jacob loved. God has a special purpose for Leah. When Rachel saw that she was not bearing Jacob any children, she became jealous of her sister. Can we have the next slide on, John? So she said to Jacob, "Give me children or I'll die." Rachel felt miserable that she hadn't had any children. She couldn't be sure, obviously, that she was always going to be childless. It does say she's barren, but, you know, she didn't know that, did she? And in fact, she did bear children later. But it was a sad situation for her. And we perhaps need to stop and think about this situation on Mothering Sunday. A lot of people are mothers, but a lot of people aren't. And I looked it up today on some kind of medical thing on the internet, and they estimate that probably about 1 in 7 couples will have trouble conceiving. So probably we all know people who that applies to. We might not know that because they might not be talking about it, but they might be going through the sadness of thinking that they might not have any children. And we know that that does apply to quite a number of people. So we need to be ready with our sympathy. If people do want to talk about it and share about it and ask us to pray for them, perhaps it's, for some people, it's a real big problem, something that causes us a lot of sadness. And of course, it's not always the problem. The problem's not always with the woman, which it was assumed to be in this case. In some cases, it's the man who has the problem. And nowadays, we've got quite a number of remedies for this. We've got Viagra for men. We've got in vitro fertilization to help couples to get pregnant. But Jacob and Rachel didn't have anything like that, did they, in those days? Hence her frustration. Give me children or I die. But you can't blame Jacob for his response either. He became angry with her, didn't he? And he said, am I in the place of God who has denied you children? Well, that's an understandable reaction, isn't it, from Jacob? I dare say he was doing his best. But they were not succeeding. Jacob's already demonstrated that he can father children. Leah's already had four, is it, or six? I've lost count. But she had six in the end. But so the problem seems to be with Rachel, and so she's really sad about it. So, desperate measures. She says, well, here is Bilhah, my maidservant. Sleep with her so that she can bear children for me, and that through her I can build a family. Now, as you know, if you've been following the story, this was not an original idea. Abraham did this, Abraham and Sarah. When Sarah thought she wasn't going to have any children, Sarah said, well, here's my servant, you can have her. And if she has a child, that'll be ours. It'll be in the family, so it'll be mine, sort of. And that perhaps could be the promised child that we've been promised by God. So Abraham and Sarah did it. So that's something of a family tradition. So she gave him her servant Bilhah as a wife. Jacob slept with her, and she became pregnant and bore him a son. Then Rachel said, God has vindicated me. He has listened to my plea and given me a son. Because of this, she named him Dan. Wasn't actually her son, it was Bilhah's son, but Rachel counts it as if it's her son, because, well, Bilhah's her servant. So anything that belongs to Bilhah belongs to her. That's the way it was. So she named him Dan, because that means vindicated, judgment. Rachel's servant Bilhah conceived again and bore Jacob a second son. Then Rachel said, I have had a great struggle with my sister, and I have won. So she named him Naphtali, which means my struggle. When Leah saw that she had stopped having children, she took her maidservant Zilpah and gave her to Jacob as wife. Is there a... Yes, there is, yeah. Thank you. Leah thought she'd stopped having children. Maybe she'd reached the menopause. We don't know how old she was, do we? Or maybe Jacob had just stopped sleeping with her. He had a few children. That'll do. Thank you very much, Mrs. I'll go and sleep with my other wives now. Thank you. But for one reason or another, she thought she'd stopped having children. So she thought, well, two can play at this game. Rachel's given her maidservant, so I'll give my maidservant. So Leah's servant Zilpah was given to Jacob, and she bore a son. Then Leah said, what good fortune. So she named him Gad. And what does Gad mean, John? Thank you very much. Gad means good fortune. Yeah. Leah's servant Zilpah bore Jacob a second son. Then Leah said, how happy I am. The women will call me happy. So she named him Asher. Then it gets a little bit more interesting, the story. During wheat harvest, Reuben went out into the fields and found some mandrake plants, which he brought to his mother, Leah. Now, mandrakes are have got an interesting kind of history. You find them being used in kind of black magic and witchcraft rituals and things. Anything where you think you can kind of work up a few spells, you might find mandrakes being used. And obviously they must have thought that these could do something about fertility. So they might not have had Viagra and they might not have had IVF, but they had mandrakes. So Reuben went out to fetch his mum some mandrakes. But then, as he was coming in, Rachel said to Leah, "Please give me some of your son's mandrakes." But she said to her, "Wasn't it enough that you took away my husband? Will you take my son's mandrakes too?" "Let's do a deal," says Rachel. "Very well," Rachel said. "He can sleep with you tonight in return for your son's mandrakes." So when Jacob came in from the field that evening, Leah went out to meet him. "You must sleep with me," she said. "I have hired you with my son's mandrakes." So he slept with her that night. It's not a very pretty picture, is it? This kind of hiring of the husband and bargaining about it. Did he have any say in the matter? The poor guy, he comes in from the field and she says, "Oh, you've got to come with me this evening." And I don't know, we watched a documentary on the television maybe a few months ago, wasn't it, about a polygamous situation. I don't know if they were Mormons or if there was something else, but there was this guy who had about 8 wives and they were all trying to live together in one house. And pretty complicated relationships, to say the least. A lot of jealousy going around, obviously, and working out which bed the man was going to sleep in that night. It was a nightmare, really. And that's exactly what we're reading about here, isn't it? A polygamous situation which is causing all sorts of friction and jealousy. But anyway, she got away. God listened to Leah, and she became pregnant and bore Jacob a 5th son, who was called... Is there another slide, John? Issachar, yes. Then Leah said, "God has rewarded me for giving me my maidservant to my husband." So she named him Issachar. So I think Leah's got about 6 now, yes. Leah conceived again and bore Jacob a 6th son, that's right. Then Leah said, "God has presented me with a precious gift. This time my husband will treat me with honor, because I have borne him 6 sons." So she named him Zebulun, which means honor. And sometime later, it says, she gave birth to a daughter, named her Dinah. I'm not quite sure why the boys outnumbered the girls so much in this family, but they did seem to, didn't they? It's not that they're only mentioning boys, because they've just mentioned a girl. So it does happen like that sometimes, doesn't it? Dinah means vindicated. Then God remembered Rachel. I wonder if it was the mandrakes that did it. I don't know. He listened to her and opened her womb. She became pregnant and gave birth to a son and said, "God has taken away my disgrace." She named him Joseph and said, "May the Lord add to me another son." Joseph, may he add. And in fact, Rachel did have another son, but it's not in today's passage. Later on in the story, we will read that Rachel has another child, Benjamin, but she dies in childbirth. So that's rather a sad part of the story. So Jacob's finished up now with 12 sons. And these 12 sons are the 12 patriarchs of the 12 tribes of Israel. So they are an important transition, really, between a chosen family and a chosen nation, which is what Israel becomes. God had promised Abraham, leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to the land I will show you, and I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all the peoples on earth will be blessed through you. It was a fantastic promise, wasn't it, that was made to Abraham while he was as yet childless. But then the children came, the grandchildren came. Jacob has 12 sons. They are the patriarchs of 12 tribes. Later they will inhabit the promised land where Abraham has lived himself. And they will be built up into a nation. And in fact, that blessing extends to all peoples on earth through Abraham's family, through Isaac, through Jacob, through Leah, through Judah, through David, through Jesus, the Savior of the world.